Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. If you would, go ahead and turn to your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. So we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Paul lists nine different types of fruit. Today we come to the fruit that's called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a very rare trait today. Politicians seldom keep their word. People break promises all the time. Maybe you had a friend that recently broke a promise to you. Sometimes couples, they can't get along, and instead of working out their marriage, they just break faith. They break the covenant. They break marriage. And it amazes me, because people will spend $10,000 to get married, but they won't spend $10 to stay married. You know, to read a good book that maybe would help them and give them some counsel. It amazes me how much we'll spend getting married and how little we'll spend staying married. And then there are many Christians today who've simply turned away from faithfully following after Jesus Christ. And so let's define faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? Faithfulness means to be loyal. It means to be steadfast. It means to be committed. So if I show up once a week for work, am I faithful? No, that's not faithfulness, right? And what if I show up for God just 1 hour a week? Am I faithful? Now, I'm not talking about time we spend in this building. Maybe we need to spend maybe another hour in this building than we do. But I'm talking about time outside of the building. We should be living our lives for Christ in our communities, in our places of employment, and everywhere we go. We should be lifting up Christ and trying to witness and telling people about the good news of the gospel and just simply living a good life. So it's not about clocking in 1 hour a week. That's not faithfulness. None of us would see that as faithfulness. And maybe all of us see the need to maybe give a little bit more of time than we do. All right, I think we're up. All right, we are. We are. Thank you. Thank you, Travis. So Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, listen to what he says. He says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away." From such people, turn away. So Paul is describing the spirit of our age. And he does this 2,000 years ago. He projects into the future and tells us what life will be like in these days. And so he lists these 19 characteristics with lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God as bookends. So those two things bookend all these other characteristics of the age in which we live. So how can a person be faithful to God when he loves himself more than he loves God? How can a person be faithful to God when his own gratifications are more important to him than pleasing God? He simply can't. She can't. And so today we're going to look at a man in the Old Testament who was faithful to God. His name is Joseph. His name is Joseph. Now, we begin reading his story in Genesis chapter 37. That's where the story begins. We're not going there, but in Genesis 37, his story begins. Then his story is interrupted by another story in Genesis chapter 38, a very, very important story. Without that story in Genesis 38, you could never link Jesus back to the tribe of Judah. It'd be impossible. So that story is vital for linking Jesus to Judah because he sprang from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 38 is a needed chapter in the Bible. And so then the story picks back up on Joseph in chapter 39. Now, just a little bit of background. If you'll remember, there was a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. These are the children that God used to build the nation of Israel. And so we talk about the 12 tribes. These are the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so you have these 12 children. And Joseph was hated by his brethren. They resented him because daddy showed special favor toward Joseph. He even gave him a coat of many colors, which sort of distinguished him from his brethren. And they didn't like it. They wanted to kill him. But instead of killing him, they sold him to some Ishmaelites, who in turn sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. And so Joseph was pulled out of a life of privilege, and he was thrust into a life of slavery in a foreign land. Life was not good for Joseph. And so I want to encourage you this morning to be like Joseph. You remember years ago, you'd see the "Be Like Mike." You remember those? Well, be like Joseph. Be like Joseph. His gym shoes are a little different. But be like Joseph. That's who we want to be like today. In three ways, we want to be like Joseph. Number one, we need to be faithful in the little things. Faithful in the little things. You see, the Bible says that Joseph was faithful. He was faithful. Notice in verses 4 through 6. In Genesis 39, so Joseph was found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, and that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for the sake of Joseph. The Lord was, for he was blessing the Lord, was on all that he had in his house in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and that he did not know he had except the bread which he ate. And so Joseph, when he gets to Egypt and he gets in Potiphar's household, he's a very faithful man. He does exactly what he's charged to do, what he's tasked to do, and it's noticed by all. Everybody can see this man is a good man. And so Joseph was faithful in spite of being a slave in a foreign country. He's a slave here, and yet he is faithful to the charge that this young boy has been given. And so you can be faithful as well. You can be faithful. Your employer should have a sense that there is something that is distinct and unique about you. And they should be able to pick up on that. They should just know that you're different from everybody else. You're just different. You go to work every day. You do your job. You're on time. You work hard, And your employer notices these things and picks up on that. And you're deemed as one who is faithful, one who is dependable, one he can count on. Or paying your bills on time, being faithful to pay your gas bill, your electric bill, your home bill, whatever bill you have, be faithful in paying that on time because you made an agreement that you would pay that on a certain day or a certain time every month. And so we want to be deemed as a faithful people. Obey traffic laws. We want to do that. And just a little tip for those of you who come from the east and you're coming west, you're not allowed to do a U-turn here at Oakwood. I found that out Monday. I've been making that U-turn for 25 years. 25 years. And this young cop, who probably was only 25 years old, pulls me over in the parking lot. He's got the lights going, and that's kind of an embarrassing thing, too. You know, here you are, the preaching, the lights are going, and everybody's wondering, what crime did he commit, you know? You just have to wonder. But anyway, I found out you can only turn, U-turn there if it's posted that you can make a U-turn. If it's not posted, you're not supposed to make a U-turn. So, that's just for your common knowledge. Don't make that U-turn. But you can go ahead and go all the way down to our driveway back here. So we have a driveway right there by the bank. You can squeeze right through there with no trouble whatsoever. But we want to obey the laws of the land. You know, we don't want to get pulled over on the side of the road for speeding or, and sometimes that happens, right? We've all been pulled over for speeding. I've been pulled over a number of times for speeding. But we want to be an obedient people. We want to obey the laws. If you've been given a ministry and you've been charged in a ministry to be faithful in that ministry, be faithful in that ministry. Do what it is that you said you would do. Be faithful. Just be faithful in the little things. The little things really matter. They matter sometimes so much more than maybe the big things do. You know, when it comes to, you know, husbands and wives, we think if you know, we get our wives something on the big days, you know, Sweetheart's Day or whatever. See, those are expected times when they expect something. It's the daily courtesies that really make a difference. Not those moments when there's a big occasion, you know. Here's this for that, and here's for your birthday, and here's our anniversary. Those are expected. It's the daily courtesies, opening the door, helping carrying the groceries or, you know, things along those lines. Just simple things, just little things. We want to be a faithful people. Be faithful in the little things. Joseph was faithful in the little. But also, we want to be faithful in times of temptation. In times of temptation, look at verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know that he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Read verses 8 and 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he has to my hand. So notice here that Joseph, he had every reason to be unfaithful. Every reason. Look at the way he's been treated. His brothers treated him rotten. They threw him into a pit, deciding on whether they're going to kill him or not. And then they ended up selling him. And then he's sold to Potiphar. He's a slave in Potiphar's house. Life stinks right now. Life is not going the way Joseph thinks life should go. He's not having a good life. And maybe you can just, he can hear Satan whispering, Joseph, nobody will know. Nobody will know, Joseph. Just you and her. That's all. But Joseph's default mechanism kicked in, and Joseph said, how can I commit this sin against my God? See, Joseph knew that it was wrong, and Joseph wasn't going to go there because it was a sin against God. Notice that Joseph doesn't say, I'll disappoint my boss, or I'll disappoint my parents. Now, all of those would be good reasons, right? We don't want to disappoint our parents. We don't want to disappoint our boss. But in this case, it'd make a difference with Joseph because his boss is the woman's husband. So, but anyway, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'll disappoint my family, or I'll disappoint my friends, or whatever. He says, I would disappoint my God. I would sin against my God. His reason for not doing this was he did not want to sin against God. He believed that sin would negatively affect his relationship with God, and therefore he would not go there. God holds us accountable for our faithfulness. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 5 and 6 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And so God scourges every son that he receives. He disciplines every son that he receives. God holds us accountable for how we live. That's why he disciplines us when we do wrong. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 10 says, and so it was, as he spoke to Joseph day by day, that he kept that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. This just went on and on and on. This was a real temptation. And what would you do? What would you do in that moment, in that situation? Would you be faithful to God or not? Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul writes, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice he says, flee youthful lust. Now, he very well could have Joseph in mind when he does that because Joseph was a young man. Maybe he has Joseph in mind when he says this. And all of us can think back and remember those stories in the Bible. And all of us remember when she latched on to Joseph and he literally ran out of his coat. Literally ran out of that place. Joseph was not going to give in. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul writes, flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And so we're told not to go there. Joseph made the right decision. Joseph did the right thing. He was faithful when he was tempted. What about you? How are you doing? How are you doing in temptation? Are you saying, I cannot do this evil against my God? Or just giving in? We should at least put up a fight. Even if you lose the battle in certain sins, you should at least put up a fight. It shouldn't be easy. Sinning should be difficult. Number three. Got way behind, didn't I? Number three. Be faithful when you're treated unfairly. Be faithful when you're treated unfairly. Look in verses 11 through 18 in Genesis 39. Beginning at verse 11. But it happened after this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me." And I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when I heard, that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. And so she kept his garment with her until his master came home. And then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. And so it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, and I fled outside." Right, liar, liar, pants on fire, right? So here's the rest of the story. As maybe Paul Harvey used to always say, here's the rest of the story. And so Potiphar takes Joseph and throws him in prison. So he's no longer just a slave in the household. Now he is in prison. And so life just keeps going from bad to worse for him. I mean, it's just going steadily downhill, right? His brethren hated him, threw him in a pit. He's sold. Now he's a slave in Egypt. Now he's in prison. Nothing is going Joseph's way. But Joseph still maintained his faithfulness to God. Look at verses 20 to 23. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And so now Joseph is being raised up while in prison, right? Things were really going bad for him, but things are starting to turn around for Joseph. But let me ask you this. How would you respond if you were treated unfairly? If you were treated the way that Joseph is being treated, what would your response be? I mean, just think what this guy's been through in the last little bit. What would your response be? Would you complain to God? Probably, because we complain for a lot less, right? We complain to Him for a lot less. Yeah, I think many of us would complain to God that, wow, God, life is not going the way it's supposed to go. Would you shake your fist at God and say, "God, you know what? I'm done with you. I'm not walking with you anymore. It's just not working out. You're not faithful. You're not good to me. And so I'm walking out of this relationship." That is the response that people have when hard times like this come into people's lives. People do walk away from following Christ. Listen, being faithful is going to get more and more and more difficult as we plunge deeper into these last days. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get more and more difficult. It's going to get harder for you to maintain faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the name Jesus has become so offensive by so many today. It's the only religion that's blasphemed today. Nobody's blasphemed Islam or none of the Eastern religions. It's Jesus that they are blaspheming. It's amazing. The meekest, the mildest, the most loving person who ever walked planet Earth is blasphemed by so many today. You know, Tiger Woods, you know, he misses a putt and then he screams out, you know, JC. How come nobody says, oh, Muhammad, or something like that? Why is it always Jesus? Why isn't some other religious leader? Why does it have to be Jesus? Faithfulness is important. In Hebrews chapter 10, it's an important verse, Hebrews chapter 10. It comes in the context of meeting together. Chapter 10, verse 23. Listen to what he says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Did you hear that? Listen to this again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Is faithful. Our God is faithful, and his faithfulness should cause us to be faithful. Our faithfulness should be rooted in his faithfulness. That's what he's saying here. That's exactly what he's saying here. And so, faithfulness is important to God. Faithfulness matters to God. It matters to God a great deal. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we're told, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you catch that? He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to forgive. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul writes, God is faithful by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so our God is faithful. And his faithfulness should encourage faithfulness in his people. Faithfulness matters to God. We sing the song, Great is thy faithfulness. Right? It is great. It is great. And so in closing out, I think it's important as we think about the fruit of the Spirit. So when we become God's child, God gives us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives in us. That's why we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to let the Holy Spirit get more of us. Sometimes what people say, you need to get more of the Spirit. You don't need more of the Spirit. You have all the Spirit you're ever going to need your entire life. You just need to let the Spirit have more of you. That's the issue. The issue is you allowing him to have more of you. We don't need more of him. We have him. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have all of Him. 100% the Spirit of God indwells us. There is no more to be had. There is no more. You have the person known as the Holy Spirit living inside you if you're a believer in Christ. And so what we need to do is let Him have more of us. And when we let Him have more of us, then we will see the fruit that we see in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 in our lives. And specifically today, we will see the fruit of faithfulness. And so this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, maybe you need prayer. Maybe you haven't been allowing the Spirit to have all of you. You've been restricting what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. You've been hindering Him. Paul says, don't quench the Spirit. We can do that. We can stop His work by not allowing Him to do the work in our lives that He wants to do. He wants to produce this amazing fruit in your life. Allow Him to do that. Don't hinder the Spirit work in your life. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never come to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we hope and pray this morning you will make that decision. We're going to sing a song. As we sing this song is to encourage you to get up out of your seat, come forward. We love you, and we want the best for you. No one's going to be mean to you or be ugly or anything like that. We're going to be very loving and caring if you will come. We urge you to come as we stand and sing.